for their 4-pack, free shipping, and their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end-of-the-year special, use my promo code USA to get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
It is late January, so it's not surprising, but Arctic air is starting to descend on the midwestern part of the country again, sending that region into a real deep freeze that could last until the end of the month. Here's USA Radio's John Clemens.
That's the forecast from AccuWeather that tells us this air mass will be colder than the one last weekend. Meanwhile, Sarah Orsi of FlightAware tells us it's been a difficult day for the airlines due to the weather.
So far today, we have about 3,860 delays.
The hardest hit airline so far today is Utah-based SkyWest.
Today, in terms of airline disruption, SkyWest is the most impacted. They've canceled about 150 flights today.
Lawmakers in New York State have passed a state DREAM Act, allowing kids of illegal immigrants across that state loans and grants for college. The measure easily passed by the Democratic-led Assembly and Senate yesterday. That follows 8 years of being turned down in the Senate there, which had had a Republican majority until last November's election. And the governor of New Jersey is giving state residents the option of battling opioid addiction with medical marijuana. Governor Phil Murphy outlining his administration's plan yesterday to overcome the opioid epidemic. Over 3,000 people died in New Jersey last year because of drug overdoses. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how the proposed $15 minimum wage won't work, but can. I'll have 5 easy ways you can boost employee morale. I'll talk about trends in marketing for this year, including mobile marketing. And I'll have the 5 questions you need to ask yourself if you plan on opening a business this year. It's Thursday, January 24th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. Currently 58 degrees at 12:05. And the forecast shows that today we're going to see falling temperatures as it gets cooler throughout the day. Up to 1 to 2 inches of rain is expected with a high of 57 and a low of 25. For tomorrow, we'll be partly cloudy with a chance of a few snow flurries and a high of 36, a low of 16. For Saturday, we're going to wake up to cloudy skies, which will clear later in the day, and we'll have a high of 33 degrees and a low of 20. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny, a few clouds, high of 41 and a low of 24.
Taking care of business every way we be taking care of business.
And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 3.47 to 24,579.09. The NASDAQ is up 37.61 to 7,063.38. S&P 500 is up 3.68 to 2642.20. Oil up 50 cents to $53.12 per barrel. Gold down $2.10 to $1,281 an ounce. All right, well, we certainly appreciate you tuning in, listening, watching live on the Facebook stream. If you are listening on the 100 in Chamber Radio website, we invite you to open up another browser and search for our show's page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano on Facebook.com. Like and follow that page. You can watch the live stream of the program and catch it anytime during the day. It's always archived on Facebook. And then I typically post it later in the afternoon, so an opportunity for you to catch the program at your convenience. You can also listen on the archive section of the website to the audio portion anytime by going to huntingtonchamberradio.com and searching the shows, clicking on Taking Care of Business, and then finding the program that you are looking for. Our business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And it comes this time, and every week I pick a different quote. Sometimes it's from a business leader, a sports leader. Sometimes it's a religious person, a politician, anything that's motivating and uplifting. I try to bring it to the program, and I always ask you, when you're listening, how does this quote apply to me? And then if you obviously have any good quotes that get you through your day or week, by all means, feel free to email them to me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, and we'll be glad to share them here on the program. This one comes from Steve Jobs, the former co-founder and chairman of and CEO of Apple Incorporated. Our business quote of the week, he says, "Your work is going to fill up a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do." So the question for anybody out there listening would be, do you love what you do? And a lot of people have a hard time answering that question. Now, I love what I do. I tell people, and I've said this and I've written it in my book, if you're the person on Sunday night who you're at home, maybe you're watching 60 Minutes, it's around 7:30, you're on the couch, and you have that sense of dread, like, oh, I've got to go to work in the morning. You know, I have this week scheduled, I have this meeting, or I have to travel to Boston or something like that. If you ever have that feeling of dread with your job, how easy would it be for you to say, I love my job? We all love the paycheck, but do you love the job is the question. So as Steve Jobs says, your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to truly be satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. So the question then becomes, do you love what you do? As I talk to people, I'll hear, I like my job, I like my boss, I like my task, I like my responsibility, but it's not what they love. What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? And if it's just a job and it's just a paycheck, I would encourage you to either get the training you need to find something that you do love, that you can make money at, and then pursue that with everything you have. But if you're just in it for the paycheck, I couldn't imagine just doing the same thing over and over every day and not enjoying it. You know, that would be drudgery for me. But hopefully you love what you do. If not, try to figure out why you started doing it in the first place, and then can you get that passion back in your life? If not, then is it time to move on to something that you would enjoy a little bit more? On the teaser for the program, I talked about the $15 minimum wage that's been introduced here in New Jersey. I want to get to that. We're going to do that around 12:15 after the commercial break. There's a lot of thought on that, both from people who are in favor of it and people who are against it. I had a woman in my office the other day from the National Federation of Independent Business who has been fighting tirelessly to block this legislation, both on the state level and nationwide. And so I want to give a couple of thoughts as to how I think this is going to play out. But more importantly, what nobody's talking about is a solution. Why are we worried about a $15 minimum wage? We'll get into that in just a few minutes. We want to start the program today talking about your employees and their morale, and is there a way that you can boost their morale? Now, I think it's safe to say that if your employees are happy doing what they do, it shows in the quality of their work, it shows in how many jobs you can take on, and, you know, it just helps the dynamic in the organization. And you can probably tell at different times of the year when your employees aren't as happy as they could be, or maybe there's some strife in the organization. So here's five easy ways to boost your employees' morale. And it's been tossed around so much it's become an industry buzzword, but what exactly is industry morale and why does it matter? Or employee morale and why does it matter? Employee morale is something that's hard to define but easy to feel. You know when people are down and can sense when they're up. But how do you consistently maintain positive morale within your own company? And it's a question worth delving into a bit deeper. So again, what is employee morale? Now, as entrepreneur Emily Russin puts it, morale is how your employees feel about coming to work every day, how they approach their assigned task, and their attitude about the direction that the company is taking. And put very simply, employee morale is the culmination of job satisfaction, life outlook, and attitude. When employee morale is low, you'll notice a decrease in productivity and the quality of work. You'll also see higher rates of absenteeism and turnover. When employee morale is high, people will enjoy coming to work and will perform to the best of their abilities. You'll also be able to notice a far greater sense of stability and loyalty towards the company. If you feel like employee morale is low in your organization, it's important that you act quickly. So we have five simple yet practical things you can do to improve employee morale. So the first question is, if you just took a pause right now, hit the pause button and ask yourself, are my employees happy? Don't ask them if they're happy because they're going to say yes. But get a sense. Do your employees interact with customers in a friendly way? Or is it just, can I take your order? How can I help you? Things like that. But are they engaging with the customers? Are they promoting the business? Are there people who are calling out sick more and more often? So do a pulse check real quick and find out whether or not you think your employees are happy. The first way that you can improve employee morale is to improve the workspace. The physical environments in which employees work have a significant impact on employee morale, among other things. If you're looking for a quick way to boost morale, pay attention to things as simple as lighting. Light affects our emotions in a variety of ways. Bright light, in particular, is shown to make people happier, especially when exposed to bright light on a regular basis. Because natural blue light is linked to our circadian rhythms, letting in more light, natural light during the day, can make your workers feel more energetic, thereby boosting productivity. The decor within an employee's workspace is also significant. Giving employees the freedom to decorate and personalize according to their own tastes will pay dividends. A lot of companies don't like this. You know, they don't want pictures of the kids on the desk. They don't want pictures of their boyfriend or the spouse on the desk. They don't want you to bring in a plant. Everything has to be sterile. And you could sit anywhere and do the same job. But by personalizing their workspace, it kind of lets them feel, hey, this is what I'm working for when they see pictures of their kids. This is what I'm working towards if it's, say, a picture of a goal, like getting a new car or something like that. So I would always say, without making it seem cluttered, let them decorate their workspace the way they want, as long as the work is getting done. You also want to incentivize performance. Now, in addition to improving verbal recognition of accomplishments, you can motivate employees to be more engaged and productive during work hours by incentivizing them with games, contests, and rewards. While you may think cash bonuses are the best incentive, research shows this isn't always the case. Small, tangible rewards, such as a catered lunch, casual Friday, or paid time off, may actually be more beneficial. And improve communications. One of the most frustrating friction points for employees is bad communication. When communication is poor, everything about the job becomes challenging and cumbersome. If you want to boost morale, focus on improving the chain of command and crystallizing communication. Your employees will appreciate the effort and the results. And offer them greater independence. Today's employees are cut from a different cloth than employees of previous decades. They don't want to punch a clock, take 2 weeks of vacation per year, and perform the same task day after day. They're looking for more freedom, independence, and flexibility. You can satisfy your employees' appetites for independence in numerous ways, but pay close attention to scheduling. Not only should you allow for telecommuting, but you may also think about flex scheduling. With flex scheduling, you let your employees choose their own hours, within reason. As long as they put in the allotted time per week or month, they have the ability to move their hours around. For example, an employee can work from 9 to 5 Monday through Wednesday and 7 to 3 on Thursdays and Fridays. Or perhaps you have an employee who wants to work 4 10-hour days as opposed to 5 8-hour days. Now, while you can't let the bottom line suffer, this sort of flexibility can benefit everyone. And you want to care for your employees. Employees notice when they're just workers who clock in, fulfill a few duties, and then clock out. They want to be seen as more than just workers. They want to be cared for, cultivated, and encouraged. By establishing a work environment where employee morale is prioritized, you can change the entire feel of your organization. And don't wait any longer to address this area of your business, because the survival of your business may actually depend on it. So, again, if you take that pulse check and you ask first yourself, are my employees happy? What comes back? check your absentee rates, check your productivity levels. You know, were you producing more 2 years ago than you are now? And then don't be afraid to ask the employees, what is it they would like to see in either the workspace or in their own workspace or in the organization that would benefit them? Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, if we had a break room, or it would be nice if we had a few snacks in the break room, or free coffee. Anything that helps them will help you in the long run. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, the most anticipated topic of the day, the $15 minimum wage increase that's coming to New Jersey. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And again, so glad you could join us. We get together every week at this time to discuss topics affecting businesses large and small, both here in New Jersey and on the national scene as well. One of the topics that has become a hotbed issue, if you will, over the course of the last year has been, or actually the last several years, is the notion or the talk of the $15 an hour minimum wage. It's been asked for by several million people and by politicians, and it's been fought by businesses, both large and small, saying that it would lead to the ruination of many of their companies. Here in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy and the Democratic legislative leaders announced last Thursday that they've reached an agreement on the details of a plan to raise New Jersey's minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2024. For most groups of workers, for other workers, it'll take a little longer. Here's the way it's going to break out. The minimum wage, which rose 25 cents to $8.85 an hour 2 weeks ago, would increase to $10 an hour on July 1st. It would then increase $1 a year on January 1st to $11 for 2020, $12 for 2021, $13 for 2022, and $14 for 2023, $15 an hour in the year 2024, every January 1st. Now, at that point, annual adjustments to account for inflation required by the state constitution would continue to increase the minimum wage going forward. Those increases would have eventually pushed the minimum wage to $15 even without the agreement, but not until 2032 if inflation was a steady 3% a year. There are a few exceptions. For seasonal workers and employees at small businesses of five workers or less, the base minimum wage would reach $15 in 2026. By 2028, the minimum wage for those workers will catch up with the inflation-adjusted minimum for the larger group of workers. For agricultural workers, the minimum wage would increase to $12.50 by 2024 and could increase to $15 by 2027 unless by the end of March 2024 the Labor Commissioner and Agriculture Secretary recommend against going to $15 and the legislature agrees with their suggestion. Today we are taking a historic step to provide more than 1 million New Jersey workers a stronger foothold in the middle class, Murphy said. No one working a full-time job should ever live in poverty. Putting the minimum wage on a clear and responsible path to $15 an hour is good for workers, good for our businesses, and good for our economy. This is a progressive plan to elevate New Jersey's minimum wage to $15 so that workers have a fair wage that allows them to support themselves and their families, says Senate President Steve Sweeney, who's a Democrat out of Gloucester County. This plan will put New Jersey in the forefront of the national movement to build a high-wage economy. Since the day I was sworn in as Assembly Speaker, I have pledged to do all I can to make New Jersey more affordable by increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2024 for the majority of workers. We are achieving the goal of lifting people up to improve their quality of life, said Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin, who's a Democrat out of Middlesex. Sweeney said the $12.50 minimum wage for farm workers will be the highest in the Northeast. Sweeney also said the plan includes tax credits for employers who hire people with disabilities and includes a parity provision that will provide additional increases for small business and seasonal workers. New Jersey Business and Industry Association President and Chief Executive Officer Michelle Sekerka said this agreement should include an economic analysis of the annual increases so the steps could be frozen during a major recession or after a natural disaster. Today's announcement is another hit to small businesses who are absorbing cumulative costs in the form of new mandates, more subsidies for energy delivery, and increased taxes as a means to balance the budget, Sekerka said. Most small business owners pay what they can afford for their workers. Now that it's a mandate, it is inevitable that some of those with the smallest of profit margins will struggle, stagnate, or simply fail. Progressive activists welcome the announcement, though the slower pace of increase for farm, seasonal, and small business owners was disappointing. Raising New Jersey's minimum wage to $15 an hour is one of the most consequential pro-worker policies enacted in the state's history, said Brandon McCoy, who's the Director of Government and Public Affairs for the New Jersey Policy Perspective. Farita Stokes, owner of Harks Realty and Associates in Ewing, supports an increase in the minimum wage. In an interview conducted before the details of the agreement were announced, she was primarily concerned that the increase be gradual so that small businesses could adjust while remaining profitable. Stokes said she and other property managers have seen increasing numbers of renters unable to afford rent and other necessities, leading to an increase in eviction notices, and that many would-be homebuyers have trouble qualifying for mortgages. One of the things that we often say amongst ourselves is that everything is going up except for people's wages, and I do believe that it's time to change that. Assemblyman Hal Wirst, a Republican from Sussex, a former state labor commissioner, said New Jersey is already ranked as among the most expensive places to operate a business. The governor right now isn't being a realist on what the small business can pay. I think on many of his plans, he wants to be one of the most progressive and liberal governors in the country. I would gladly give him that award myself right now, Wirst said. But I don't think he realizes the damage he's doing. And unfortunately, by the time we're vindicated, it will be too late and New Jersey will be in a recession and you'll have massive job losses. Wirst has proposed increasing the minimum wage to $13 an hour over 5 years rather than the $15, then providing low-income workers with an additional financial boost by doubling the earned income tax credit from its current level of 40% of the federal credit to 80%. He would also double a business tax deduction for minimum wage employees at companies with 100 or fewer workers. The burden can't just be passed on, Wirst said. It seems like right now the attitude among a lot of my colleagues in Trenton is to pass everything on to businesses and that the businesses have an endless pit of money. This is what they can't afford. Worth said, of a $13 minimum wage. They can't give any more. The $15 minimum wage that people are talking about is really an absurd number that will continue to damage our company, our economy, and actually, in my opinion, cause job losses. So over time, over the course of the next 6 years, you're going to see this gradual increase in the minimum wage up to $15 an hour. I did a little research on this and found that when I first started working, a first job that was minimum wage, my hourly salary was $2.65. And that was a high school job. I was working in a deli. I moved around to a couple other jobs through my college career, all at minimum wage. And it was more so that I had money to put in the gas tank, money to go out to a movie, to get a slice of pizza or something like that. It wasn't necessarily to create a living on. My thoughts on this topic are that it will never be enough. When we get to the $15 minimum wage, it still won't be enough, and then people are going to start clamoring and saying, we've got to get to a $20 minimum wage. So already I've talked to several business owners. One gentleman owns four restaurants, and he's told me that he sat down about a year ago and already calculated how many of his employees he would have to let go in order to maintain his current level of profitability in those four restaurants. So we're starting to see already where businesses are responding. You pass a law, you say you want $15 minimum wage, great. In order to do that, I either have to fire part of my staff or I'm going to have to significantly raise my prices. There's now kiosks in McDonald's. You walk in the door, you go to a machine, you type in, I'll have a Big Mac, a large fry, a Coke, out comes your receipt. You actually pay at the kiosk, and then somebody calls your number and your order is ready. But how many people were now affected by that? We don't need a cashier or two or three because you can do your order right at the kiosk. There's probably fewer people in the back making the burgers. So already McDonald's and other restaurants or fast food restaurants are starting with the kiosk plan and, again, eliminating the need for jobs. At $8.85 an hour, a minimum wage employee is currently making $18,408 per year. Now, if that gets raised to $15 an hour in 6 years, they would then be making $31,200, which kind of goes against what Governor Murphy's saying, that we're going to bolster them into the middle class. I don't think $31,200 suddenly creates a middle class. Now, that may seem like a lot, but that is based on you actually working a 40-hour week. Many businesses are saying they will not pay $15 at 40 hours a week. They're going to cut people's hours back. I think the magic number is somewhere around 29, so that they don't have to pay health care benefits if they have up to 50 employees. So they'd rather hire a larger number of employees at 29 hours per week than one employee at $15 an hour for 40-hour weeks. Anything less, and the total earnings is going to go down. So forget $31,000, you may be closer to $26,000 if your hours are cut. And you'll probably have to work more than one job to make ends meet. Plus, there will be inflation. Cost of goods are going to rise. You can already sense it. I hear it, you know, on our end with my products, that we're going to have to raise our prices in order to accommodate a $15 minimum wage. It doesn't make sense if I'm paying somebody $15 an hour and they sit with a customer for 15 minutes, you know, so about $3.50 an hour, $3.75 an hour. So if I've already spent $3.75 with my employee working with a customer because they were with them for 15 minutes. Then there's the cost of the materials of the product. Add in another $3 or $4. Then there's the cost of the time it takes them to actually build and engrave the trophy. And suddenly the $8.95 trophy is a wash. I'm not making any money. So now that price has to jump. If our suppliers now have to pay their people $15 an hour, you're going to see an increase in the cost of goods. And it could be that this $8.95 trophy is quickly going to become a $15 to $16 trophy just to keep the status quo that we currently have. Minimum wage earners, this is my plan, and I've posed this to a number of people, including some people who are currently at minimum wage. What I asked was, you now have 6 years, and you're currently at $8.85 an hour. So and for whatever reason that you've decided to be a minimum wage earner, it's kind of like joining a race and saying, I'm shooting for last. Why would you want to be at the minimum? Try to get to the maximum. So my point is, you now have 4 or 5 years to get yourself organized and ready. for whatever reason you're on minimum wage, if you're just a housewife, the husband says, you know, you need to go get a job and you're working at Walmart and you're satisfied with that and that's as good as it needs to be, fine. If you're a person who, for whatever reason, you quit high school, maybe you had a teenage pregnancy and had to leave school, you never got a chance to go to college or anything like that, could you take this time, those 4 or 5 years, to do something to improve yourself? Maybe it's taking courses at the county college to get a certificate or a degree. Could you go to cosmetology school and learn a trade that will pay you better than that $31,200? Mike Rowe of the television show Dirty Jobs has a foundation where he is trying to fill a critical need in this country for skilled labor, skilled tradesmen, electricians, plumbers, carpenters. Is that something that you would consider and make double or triple what the minimum wage would pay you in 4 or 5 years? If you went and you joined an apprentice program, joined a union, you'd be making much more money with very little talent than after you've completed the program, where you would nearly double your salary. So my suggestion, and again, as I pose this to people, because sometimes when you're in that box, you don't see everything that is affecting you, is could you then take this opportunity? So yes, still continue to work your minimum wage job, but on the outside be working towards something bigger. Maybe it's a trade, maybe it's a skill, night school, whatever you have to do, so that you, nursing, there's a critical shortage in nursing. So could you take courses at night to become a nurse? It may take you a little longer, but once you have that degree, you're employable at a much higher salary than the minimum wage, with usually with benefits. Is that something you could do? I don't understand the mentality of where people think this is going to make things better just because you're getting paid more, because everything's going to go up. Prices of goods are going to go up. Prices of finished goods are going to go up. What we sell things for is going to go up. And so it's almost like, although we're raising the salaries, if the price is raised with it, the people won't be any better. And they're still going to be working 2 and 3 jobs. I'd rather see people trying to do something to better themselves through education, through service, or through training, through certificate programs that will make them more marketable to businesses down the road. And I kid you not, when I say there is a immediate need, plumbers, carpenters, electricians, HVAC technicians, any of the skilled trades, welders, you know, there is a huge need and they pay well. And as the older generations age out of those trades, if they're not replaced by the newer trades, you know, there's going to be a huge demand for people like that down the road. So hopefully people can improve themselves, make themselves better, and improve their lot in life and not be reliant on the minimum wage. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
No compromise is coming, it seems, when it comes to trying to end the government shutdown. Republicans accusing Democrats of ignoring the needs of federal workers during the shutdown, as Democrats accuse Republicans of virtually the same thing. Newly elected Republican Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas says he's got 2 measures that could help end the shutdown right now.
This is 2 other bills that would actually pay them right now.
But Crenshaw says,
the first time we voted on this, we got 6 Democrats to vote with us. Second time we voted on it, we only got 10 Democrats.
The Senate's to vote on 2 bills today aiming to reopen the government, but both are expected to die in the House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's glad the State of the Union controversy is off the table. President Trump acknowledging late last night the speaker has a right to postpone that address until after the shutdown ends. And this is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Senogenix. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Senogenix.com.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Glad that you could be a part of the program with me today. I want to talk, as we get off of the subject of minimum wage, talk about getting back on track with your business and trends to watch. This is going to kind of be a continuing series, but trends to watch in your marketing. And I want to touch on mobile today. With mobile devices, potential customers are literally just an arm's reach away. These small devices pack a more powerful marketing punch than any channel available today. Heading into 2019, you should be aware of important trends emerging that will help you stay ahead of your competitors. And unsurprisingly, it's all about technology. And it might be a better fit for your small business than you realize. First and foremost, pay attention to mobile devices and the ever-evolving consumer convenience that they allow for. Mobile devices are an ever-present fixture, always just an arm's reach away from your potential customers and pack a more powerful marketing punch. The go-to for both personal and business use, mobile devices are even more important than ever as email and telemarketing continue to decrease in effectiveness. According to Jerry Penick, Vice President of Marketing for CenturyLink's Government, Education, Medium, and Small Business Unit, he recommends small business owners leverage integrated social media campaigns, push notifications via text, and hyperlocal advertising to maximize your small business's mobile presence. Additionally, small business owners should consider investing in mobile-first design in 2019, according to Ivana Taylor of DIY Marketers. Smartphones have become virtual extensions of consumers using them for directions, finding places to eat, and even places to make purchases, Taylor said. If you've run into a website that is slow or clunky and not easy to navigate, and you clicked away and moved on, that's what your customers are doing with your business as well. So I want to just sit on this for a second because I hooked up with a company called Main Street Hub probably about a year ago to help me with my social media marketing. I had been very good at social media marketing, but there were times when 2-3 weeks could elapse and I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't posting on a regular basis to Facebook or to the other social media platforms, and you could tell that it was kind of hurting the business. So Main Street Hub came in. They did a 2-hour photo shoot in my store with different products and things like that. They also use some royalty-free images, and they'll create just short captions. But again, every 2 or 3 days, another post is going out, and it could be something like a picture of a trophy. What was the first trophy you won? Call us at Crown Trophy of Flemington or you know, post a comment below. So the importance of connecting on social can't be understated. Yes, email marketing still has its place. You should still be working with on your email database. I don't want to ever underestimate the power of that. Then, also, you know, traditional print, radio, marketing, still valuable. People still use it. Now what I want you to do is focus this year on the mobile. Now, the reason I'm bringing up Main Street Hub is I got my quarterly performance report from them yesterday, and you know, when you see these posts, you want to know, is it working? Are people actually liking them, clicking them, etc.? I was surprised because they're able to pull down the analytics. And if a person looks up my store or if they see that ad and they click it and then they call the store, it records the fact that they took an action, whether it's going to the website or going or calling the store. And in just the last quarter, we received over 4,700 phone calls as a result of people seeing a Facebook post and then clicking through that ad to get to the contact information, go to the website, and then call the store. Several hundred people, if not thousands of people, were not only going to the website but clicking on various pages or products. So that information is very powerful to me, and it shows that it's definitely a useful tool, and we'll continue to keep using it. But I just want to show you that it's not just about, you know, posting a funny picture or something like that. You have to have a plan. I talked about this in the first show of the year about having a marketing plan so that you know what you're saying, when you're saying it, and that you're consistent. What drives me nuts, and I'm trying to think who it was, I went on a website yesterday and I found that the person hadn't updated their anything on their page, on their Facebook page, which was their main page for their business, in over a year. And I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me that you're the best at what you do, and yet I don't know anything about you that's changed in the last 365 days. So, again, you want to update those pages. You want to have new content, even if it's just a picture. You know, it could be – like for us, my son has a dog in the shop. He's 6 months old. And, you know, sometimes it's just taking a silly picture of the dog and posting it and say, hey, Sydney's, you know, working hard today or something like that. We'll get a tremendous response from that. And, again, it creates that front-of-mind presence for you. People are clicking on Crown Trophy. They're clicking on Twisted Ink, and they're saying, "Hey, this is a neat company. This is somebody I want to do business with." And it, again, it may not result in an immediate sale, and that's what I want to make sure that everybody understands. I'm not looking for it to make an immediate sale. What I'm looking for is that when somebody has to purchase something, they think of you first. So that's the importance of keeping your social media up and running at all times. So I want to switch gears for a minute because a couple of people – I was at a get-together about a week ago, and people were asking me a lot of business questions, you know, not because of the show. They were just like, how did you survive 10 years? What was it like in the beginning? Were there ever, you know, peaks and valleys, things like that? And I go, almost sounds like you want to start a business. And they – two of them said, we do. And so I thought I would bring the topic to the show – of the five questions you need to ask if you're actually planning on starting a new business here in the new year. And we're already at January 24th, still not too late. And these questions could apply at any time during the year when you're thinking of opening a business. And I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but these are probably the top five that you should be asking yourself as you contemplate starting a new business. So the new year is always a great time to take the first step towards starting your own business. These tips are going to help you to decide if you're ready. Now, in 2017, it was almost as common for people to have a side gig or a small business as it was to have a Facebook page. And that's not going to change in 2018 or 19 with the number of entrepreneurs in the U.S. and around the world growing each year. The Global Entrepreneurship Monitor found that there are 25 million in the U.S. alone, with twice as many Americans reporting that they see an opportunity to start a business in 2019. Now, if you're one of those Americans, the new year is a great time to take that first step. But before getting ahead of yourself, you need to ask the following questions, which will help you to decide if you're ready. The first question you want to ask yourself is my business needed? Now, the best way to be as successful as an entrepreneur is to fill a gap, create the solution for a current challenge or need. And this makes it valuable, if even to a small niche of people within the consumer or business market. Make this question simpler by answering, my product or service will solve blank. And then what is that blank? You know, what is your answer? What are you solving? What do you hope to solve that people need that they're currently not getting? Think as broadly as you want as you consider this question, suggests Jess Ekstrom, who's an entrepreneur and contributor. When you think of solving a problem, you usually think of functionality. For example, a coffee mug that keeps your coffee hotter or longer, or luggage that compresses to take up less space. However, a need can also be something less obvious and still have value. For example, the app Offline Media tells you what's going on in your city, and if you live in North Carolina, the need it's filling is getting people offline and outside. The second question to ask is, do I have the network that I need? Starting a business takes a tribe, and you can't do it alone. And if you do, you'll wind up burned out, stressed out, and ready to throw in the towel. As you run through your network Rolodex, make a list of the people you'll need on your side. Perhaps you want to talk money with a finance professional and are hoping to get the support in IT. Are there people in your current network who could help you with this and do so cheaply? If you find your network is running low on the resources you need access to, set up a few opportunities for the first month of 2019, whether you have coffee meetings or buy tickets for a few formal events. With a list of needs and networking opportunities scheduled, you'll be able to find those who can help you get your business off the ground. The next question, the big question, How much money is it going to take for you to get started? The key word in this question is need. If you can get away with zero funding, late nights, and a temporary coffee habit, do it. The SBA offers a great checklist for estimating the cost of starting a business, which is a valuable resource if you've never done it before. If you find that you do need funding, remember that there are many avenues for this, including crowdfunding, angel investors, a bank loan, or your own savings. Borrowing from friends and family should always come last, as this can become a challenging situation to manage. If the latter is your only current option, check out the loan contracts. Putting something in paper and working with a lawyer, if possible, is the best way to avoid disputes in the future. And remember, particularly as it comes to family, and I've seen this hundreds of times, pay these people back. Worst thing I've seen on the television show The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis is when a person will talk about their business, and they're very proud of their business. And then when Marcus reviews the financials, he goes, well, you're $300,000 in debt. Where'd that money go? Well, I borrowed $50,000 from my mother, and then I borrowed $100,000 from my mother, and then I borrowed another $50,000 from my mother, and I borrowed from my cousin. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, you're in for $250,000 to two or three people. How are they going to see their money ever again? So you're going to want to make sure that you keep the last element as borrowing from family or friends. And if you do, you should offer them some form of equity. So what kind of business insurance do you need? And you need to protect yourself as a business owner, even if you're working from your living room. Insurance is the smartest way to reduce your liability personally while mitigating liability with your product or service. So the most common types of insurance are general liability, errors and omissions insurance, workers' comp. You might need business interruption insurance, life insurance, business auto, disability, directors and officers insurance. Again, speak with an insurance professional to make sure you have exactly what you need. And then finally, ask yourself, am I ready to start this business? There are plenty of technical questions to ask before starting a business, but it's also important to dig a little deeper personally. Challenge yourself and your idea to determine if you can actually give this project your all, which is necessary if you plan to earn an income from your business, even more so if it will be your full-time job. Anything less than 100% will not yield the same results. As you look ahead, check the calendar for other obligations and commitments. Will your schedule be conducive to long days and emotional ups and downs and the daily stresses of a business owner? Be honest with yourself when answering this one. If you're uncertain, pick a date to sit down and reconsider. It may even be possible to maintain your full-time job for a few months longer and continue working on your business on the side until you're ready. Now ask yourself, is it time to start? Now that you've answered these questions, do you think you're ready to start a business in this year? And be honest with yourself again. If you start too early, you'll burn out fast, potentially losing your motivation and to continue after all the hard work you've already put in. Instead, start when you're ready and all the pieces are in place to set yourself up for success. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Pat.
You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that.
Well, at least I can.
Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, and speaking of joining people, why not pay attention to the rest of today's programming, Living Hunterdon, Your County at Work, and Open Life is a Spiritual Occasion. Healthy Hunterdon will be on, one of those shows will be on today at 4 to 5 p.m. Of course, you can start your day every day from 8 to 10 in the morning with Chris Bianco on Good Morning Hunterdon. And tomorrow morning, we have Susan Lax with Hands Across Hunterdon at 10 a.m., Pat and Steve, the Home Sweet Home Show. At noon tomorrow, you have the Fat Guys at the Movies. And then Jeff and Larry will have their Health and Home Show. It's the Law with Pat Smith at 4 o'clock. And then at 5, it's the Sports Guys with Pat Smith, Bill Wilson, and John Manfreda. So make sure you check out all the programs here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. A lot of businesses are starting online sales, trying to get online sales, and they feel that that's the way that they need to be in order to compete with Amazon. Now I want to talk to you as we walk through how you can do that and make your first online sale in 3 months. So if you've launched your own business, it's exciting. However, now comes the real challenge, and that's making your first sale. So by giving yourself a deadline of 90 days, you're setting a specific and totally achievable goal. And we're going to be with you all the way as we walk through the steps needed to do that. You want to, we've talked about this in the past, dabble with influencer marketing. If you know there's somebody out there that you have a contact with, or you know somebody who has a contact who can spread your product through the masses, you want to touch on that. Influencer marketing is a big deal that requires a big strategy in order for it to be successful. Now, if you can catch the attention of an influencer in your niche, you could well be on your way to achieving your first sale ASAP. You see, it's one thing for you to care about your product and quite another for an influencer to care about it. When an influencer crows about your product to their audience who trust them, your own credibility grows. To get started, find an influencer in your niche who has the audience you want to put yourself in front of and send them a free gift or sample. With any luck, they'll share it on social media. Here's a top tip, though. If your company sells clothing but haven't quite got the funds to order a huge batch of inventory, I recommend using print on demand. That means you won't have to pay for the product until after you've sold it. You also want to consider writing a blog. Now, all companies in 2019 need a blog. An online blog does many things. It boosts traffic, raises brand awareness, educates their audience, and it builds trust and relationships between the company and their audience. Blogs raise and sustain awareness in your company and products, but you need to do this right. So create long-form, in-depth blog posts that offer value to your audience. Use your blog to educate and inform, but also to engage and, where permissible, to entertain. You want to teach people things. Offer tips and resources related to your niche and products. Remember, the more people know about you and your products, the more they'll trust you and the likelier it is that they'll buy from you. You should aim to create shareable blogs that have the potential to grow organically. A top tip here would be to make sure your headlines contain powerful words. I've talked about this ad nauseum, I believe, and that is for you to build your email list. Now, we might be heading into 2019, but email is just as alive and kicking as it ever was. Now, when you have an email list, many of your customers are grouped together in one place. Rather than constantly looking for new customers, you can instead send your list emails about new products, discounts, and tailored offers. Tailored offers will be particularly key to your first sale. Customers now want personalization, which means they want to receive offers that are tailored to them and their needs and their wants. Using segmentation, you can send emails to specific individuals according to their past purchase or browsing habits. And this improves all kinds of metrics from click-through rates to conversions. And you want to put together an Instagram or video marketing strategy. Instagram has now surpassed 1 billion users. It's hot. So it's your, if your customers are on there, you need to take advantage of what this platform has to offer in terms of video marketing. Video marketing is a great way to raise brand awareness and to increase your chances of a first sale ASAP. People want to watch videos, and if yours stands out, you could easily grab your first sale this way. So first, you need to decide on a goal. Do you want to increase sales, announce a new product, boost engagement? Then you need to decide which emotion you want to tap into. For example, the Dollar Shave Club produced an explainer video that made people laugh. It made people laugh so much that it turned the company into a $1 billion acquisition. Keep your videos short and snappy and make the first 5 seconds count. According to research, many of us skip a video if we're not instantly grabbed, while the videos that receive the most engagement last 26 seconds. This means that you need to use a hook as soon as possible. To do this, you need to know who your audience is and what would make them stop scrolling through their feed. Perhaps you could outline the benefits of this video within the first 5 seconds. And make your call to action count, too. This is the bit where you tell your customers what to do next. Should they click a link, or do you just want them to like your page for now? Don't be shy about using pop-ups. Lastly, website pop-ups are a great way to capture information about your customer or retarget them and keep them in the game. When using pop-ups, make absolutely sure they're relevant to the page the customer is on and make sure the design aligns with your brand. Use power words, add a compelling offer, and keep the form fields simple. Keep them to a minimum, too. And finally, all in all, grabbing your first online sale in 90 days will be a piece of cake if you do those 5 things. Spread your wings and target social media with videos. Build an email list, write a blog, and prospects will soon find it impossible to ignore your business. So good luck with that. Hopefully it will turn into being able to make a sale. Again, it's going to depend on you and your efforts going in. Last week I had Sean Kirchner in the studio. He's a member of the Star Thrower Group, and he had made a prediction that the Rams and the Chiefs would be in the Super Bowl, and we had a bet on that. The Rams made it. The Chiefs did not. And so I don't have to buy Sean lunch this week, which is a good thing because that boy can eat. In sports, in the NFL football, it's all settled. The New England Patriots will play the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 53. Due to horrible officiating in both championship games, the Saints were robbed by a non-call. And not that anybody cares or watches, but this weekend is the Pro Bowl. And the NBA and NHL seasons are still underway. In Major League Baseball news, closer Mariano Rivera, designated hitter Edgar Martinez, and starting pitchers Roy Halladay and Mike Mussina will be the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Rivera became the first player to be unanimously voted into the Hall, appearing on all 425 ballots. The four were voted in by the Baseball Writers Association of America on Tuesday, and of the four, Halladay and Mussina were first-round draft picks, though only Mussina was touted for stardom from the start of his career. And good news, pitchers and catchers report for spring training in just 18 days. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the program with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programs or topics, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime. What else?
You're
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Police in Florida say the five murder victims in a bank shooting in Sebring, Florida yesterday were all women. Sebring Police Chief Carl Hoagland talks about the shooting.
Zeph and Alan Zaver knowingly and intentionally took the lives of five of our fellow community members, our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, and our co-workers.
Xavier is expected to make his initial court appearance later today. With the partial government shutdown continuing, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican from Louisiana, says it's time for Nancy Pelosi to start negotiating with the Republicans.
I think everybody sees that there's a clear way out of this, but in an